Today on Family Talk.
Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh, on location at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Orlando. I want you to imagine a world without Christian radio. Well, for one thing, you wouldn't be listening to me right now. But think of all the great other information that you get through Christian media. How would all of that change if it were deemed illegal to talk about or write freely about your Christian faith? The National Religious Broadcasters are committed to protecting religious liberty in the media. And Dr. Dobson recently met with the president of NRB, Dr. Jerry Johnson, to talk about some of the challenges he is facing. Let's get to that conversation right now on today's edition of Family Talk.
You know, the First Amendment is freedom of speech, freedom of religion, or press. So I want you to think about that. Religion, that's NRB. Speech, that's NRB. Press, that's NRB. Dr. Dobson, I don't know another group that has all three in the portfolio, religion, speech, and press. So I think we're uniquely positioned. I say to the pastors and the broadcasters, you've been one of the bold ones. Use it or lose it. If we don't talk about these issues, people will get used to the fact that, oh, you just, that's naughty. You don't talk about those things on the air. You don't talk about same-sex marriage. You don't talk about Islam. You don't talk about, you know, uncomfortable topics. I think actually we should talk about these uncomfortable topics. Jesus did, Paul did, Peter did, the Reformers did. This is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Freedom of speech was meant to protect uncomfortable speech, awkward speech.
Well, I made a lot of people uncomfortable because my attitude from the beginning is that this ministry does not belong to me. Yeah. And I don't have any buildings with my name on them. This belongs to the Lord. And if he wants it back, he can take it. And obviously he can take it. So I'm going to do what I think is right. And if I lose it, that's his business. And I've tried to kind of followed that plan.
Well, you have, but God's been faithful. I mean, here you are, 40 years later. Pretty good run.
We also had difficulty with the Obama administration over another matter having to do with giving abortifacients as contraceptives to employees. Abortifacients, by their definition, can kill babies. And we received notice that we had to do that or we were going to be in violation of the law. And it's an old story now, but I wrote to President Obama and all of our constituents, and I said, Mr. President, what you're asking us to do is immoral. It kills babies, and I'm not going to comply with it. So come get me if you want to.
Good for you.
And we wound up in a lawsuit with President Obama and the HHS, and we've been there ever since. And we won the first round with a federal judge in Colorado and then went on to the 10th Circuit. And it was still hanging over us, was going to be going almost certainly to the Supreme Court. We were in the same category as Little Sisters of the Poor. And there was an accommodation made for them, but not for us. And so this election had a lot of meaning.
And think about the double standard. You know, I just less than 45 days ago, a lot of singers said, you know, we're singing for hire. But wait a minute, we won't sing for this inauguration coming up. They just let it be known. They wouldn't. I remember the dressmaker said, you know, we normally get in line to dress the first lady, but we're not going to dress this first lady. It's a matter of conscience. It's a matter of political conscience and objection. Just mere political objection. And they were celebrated by the press, the mainstream media. Everyone said, how brave, how bold. Look at that. They're true to their conscience. And in your case, I mean, we're talking about 3,000-4,000 babies a day being killed by abortion, and they want to force you to violate your conscience, not about a dress, but about babies, you know, being killed every day. And I'm thinking, you know, these cake makers, these photographers, these florists, it's not enough, you know, that they've prevailed just now that, oh, marriage between males and males is legal, or so-called marriage is legal, it's not enough that they've won that for now. They're saying, you have to help us do the ceremonies. You've got to make the cakes. You've got to take the pictures. You've got to provide the wedding chapel. You've got to provide the flowers. And
that's just
there's a real double standard there. It's a double standard all the way. And so that's where Mr. Trump, the President Trump, has been right to say, you know, people are beating up on the Christians, and I want to stop it. We need to hold him to that campaign promise. I'm very grateful that he made it. I'm grateful that what he said about the Johnson Amendment. I'm very hopeful, but I am very sure that had the other party won this election, we'd be in a heap of trouble.
Mm-hmm. Well, we may be anyway, because there's a lot of forces out there.
I think there is some time. We cannot expect this president to do for our country or for the church what we're supposed to do. I mean, right. What we need is revival and renewal and awakening. I think Chuck Colson used to say, revival will not arrive on Air Force One, and we should never expect that. But I think we've bought some time here. Maybe revival won't come on Air Force One, but revival can be hindered,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
And freedom of speech. No, I mean, listen, I don't think any of us realize, it's like the frog in the kettle, how far we have slid in the last 8 years. So I'll remind you of a couple things that are apparent to me. We had never heard a president of the United States even use the word gay until President Obama used it in his first inaugural address. Mm. He talked about black and white, rich and poor, gay and straight.
And at that time, he was saying that he favored marriage being exclusively between
exactly
a man
right.
and a woman.
But wait a minute. In the second inaugural, he introduced LGBT. That had never been uttered by a president. It was a new category. By the time he left, he was saying LGBTQ. And then you made the other point that on his first election, he was clearly saying, I don't believe in same-sex marriage because God is in the mix. And here's my question for you. I don't hear a lot of Republicans now even saying that. And I'm sad to say that because I generally identify myself as a Republican in my own politics. But that's how far the political atmosphere of Washington
Jerry,
has shifted.
Nobody is saying.
They're not even saying, I don't believe in this because God is in the mix. And that's a pretty weak kind of a way to put it. But in 9 years, we've seen that kind of shift in both parties. So the church has got a lot of work to do. And so I'm grateful, I think, that President Trump at least wants to give us a level playing field. That's what we need.
Yeah.
And then we've got to do what God has called us to do. And no, the government should not hinder it, but they can't do that work. We're going to have to get out there and do it. But I think we've got that space now. We better use it.
May I ask if you have heard a pastor talk about marriage being exclusively between a man and a woman? It happens, but not very often.
You know, when I was a pastor, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the head, but, you know, it's true. And my people in Aurora will tell you, every January, I preached an entire sermon on abortion on the Roe Wade
Bless
anniversary.
Your heart.
And I would say at least once a year, I would preach a sermon on homosexuality. We would talk about the fact that, you know, in Romans 1, Paul's argument is that, you know, this is a rejection of the Creator and His created order of male-female sexuality. It's a rejection of God. It's a fundamental rejection of the Creator. And then I would, you know, preach it and to say, you know, such were some of you, but God has washed you, cleansed you, justified you. We would talk about the change that can come and the forgiveness that can come and the grace that can come. But we preached the whole counsel of God, but I'm not hearing that. And I would ask you as a broadcaster, how many broadcasters are doing it? That's what's bothering me, Dr. Dobson. It's kind of what I say, de facto censorship. Right now, our government is not in the positioning of censoring us. I think they might be, but they're not. We're under self-censorship right now. There are a lot of our guys that are afraid to talk about this. So
it's because it isn't politically correct.
That's right.
Did you get pushback from your congregation when you talked about those sensitive subjects?
You know, a little bit. In my president's address two nights ago, I hit both of these issues. I said, look, the two pushbacks we're getting on freedom of speech right now are the sexuality issue, the male-female created order of human sexuality. If you draw the line there, you're going to get censorship. And on the Islam question, if you're going to talk about Muhammad or the Quran or the intolerance of Islam or terrorism, you're going to be called an Islamophobe or you're going to be called a homophobe. And I'm saying to our broadcasters, you know, the quickest way to lose the freedom of speech is to quit using the freedom of speech. When it's normalized that no one ever talks about it, then it's outrageous if somebody does and people want to shut you up. And we're getting close to that, even in our group, even in the evangelical community. And it's my mission, one, to just keep mentioning those issues so that others will, and I'm glad you do it and a few others do it. But right now, we have a broadcaster at NRB. He's here again. 2 or 3 years ago, he used the word Muslim instead of the word Islam on his radio broadcast in Canada. He was fined. Finally, he was just taken off the air. You know, in Great Britain, on Facebook right now, local authorities monitor Facebook. If you talk about same-sex marriage, if you talk about Islam on Facebook, the police come to your door in Great Britain and say, are you inciting violence? You're engaging in hate speech.
They don't have a First Amendment
provision
like we do.
And so I think we're crazy if we think this could not happen in America.
I have never been threatened by the FCC or by any governmental agency to take me off the air. But when I did a program that was really very tame with regard to marriage being between one man and one woman in Canada, that station got threatened with being taken off the air. They didn't affect me because I'm an American, but the station faced it.
Freedom is a very tenuous thing. You have to fight to get it, and you have to fight to keep it. It's like the second law of thermodynamics. It just gradually sort of wilts away. Every generation has to reassert that liberty. I thought it was very interesting when you look at that First Amendment, it says, you know, Congress shall make no law establishing a religion, no church state, no state church, or prohibiting the free exercise. No one should be able to stop us from exercising our religion or abridging the freedom of speech. Think about that for a minute, abridging. And that means it's presumed, it's assumed. Where did that come from? Abridging. It means it's already there. And I think that's the declaration where Jefferson said, this is a self-evident truth. Everyone's created in God's image and endowed or created equal. That's what he meant by created equal and endowed by the Creator with those rights of life and liberty. The right of liberty is given to us by God. Government doesn't give that. Government can't take it away. It's a birthright. As a human being made in God's image, you got a free mind, a free conscience, freedom of speech. And it's government's job not to give that to us, but to protect protect that gift of God. And that's what NRB is about.
Let me tell you why I feel so strongly about radio in particular, which is my great love, is that not every country has what we have here. Not because of censorship, but because it just hasn't developed there. I spent quite a bit of time in London and various places in the UK. And they have some radio, but not a lot. As a result, here there's a connection between Christians, believing Christians throughout the country. If there is a threat,
that's right,
like we've talked about, they know about it because of Christian radio or Christian television. And if there is a bill that threatens children or morality or any of the things we care about, then it is disseminated. That's not the case in the UK and other places. And it's a shame because there is no sense of community That's an overstatement, and somebody in the UK is going to get mad at me for saying that.
A tyrant has to control the press. A tyrant's going to have to control communication. And, you know, there's an old story that Bonhoeffer was speaking on the radio and Hitler cut him off. And some scholars have doubted, actually, if that's how it went down. But in the big picture, that is what went down. You know, you can't do what he did without shutting off the radio. Yeah. And as long as Christians can communicate in real time, Christian leaders can communicate to their people in real time. You know, when you've got a government of the people, for the people, and by the people will rise up and say, no, you're not going to do that. Stop. Stop that. And, you know, that's what we've got to. We've got to fight to keep the megaphone. If they turn the megaphone off, we will lose our political voice.
Well, he not only shut down the means of broadcasting, but he shut down the church.
Why, how the pulpit? Yeah.
And the Lutheran church, for the most part, acquiesced and went along with it.
Yeah, and you know, that's a rebuke to all of us. There is this temptation that the early Christians have. Are you going to say, you know, Kyrios Caesar, Caesar is Lord? Are you going to say Kyrios Christos, Christ is Lord? Those early apostles said, we will obey God rather than men. So that's where I want to be.
Jerry, what else would you say to our listeners about Christian radio, Christian television, and talk about all the other avenues that are now available that were not available when we started, when I started?
Well, folks, you should come to NRB. I wouldn't have said that 20 years ago because it was about radio and television. You didn't have a radio or a television station. But Facebook right now is the top source of news for people in America. That's an amazing thing. It was Yahoo about 5 years ago. People just reading stories on Yahoo News as they looked at their email. But now it's actually Facebook. Everybody with their phone, you know, I've turned mine off here, but everybody's communicating. Everyone is a communicator now if they're using Twitter. And most Christians are using some kind of social media. And podcasting now, you don't have a license to do that. Pastors, you don't have to have a license to live stream your church service. So every Christian now is a communicator. They're in Christian media. And so we have, for instance, at NRB, a full day on digital media. We've got Facebook executives here today to talk about what works on Facebook and what doesn't. We've had Google here and Twitter here. And so we're all about showing Christians, churches, youth ministries how to be more effective in the use of these new technologies that don't require a license and are actually how people are getting a lot of their information. It's amazing. I know with your ministry and many others who've been recording for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, they're seeing a revival of all their old content. It's actually surpassing in consumption on social media, you know, as they're repackaging and retooling and putting it out there.
The truth is the truth.
It is. And this is just now another avenue. We're also exploding in film. You know, we've got 5 feature films here at NRB that we're previewing, and we've seen a renaissance of faith films. And so to me, that's very important. If you're a student, you want to do acting or producing or directing or writing, we have a film summit here today and a pitch-a-thon, and we have awards. So this has really now become a place for any Christian who wants to work in media or be more effective in media. And you need us, and I would say we need you in this fight for the First Amendment.
You know, you mentioned in the first program that we're celebrating our 40th anniversary now. It was actually March the 27th, 1977, when we first went on the air. And we've had some successes and some failures. And I don't like to talk about failures.
Let me
talk about a high point in those 40 years. I was at USC, the University of Southern California, and my major was child development. And there was another student there who was older than me. He was about 3 or 4 years older than I, and we were both working on PhDs, and he got through before I did and began writing books. and materials, and I never met him. I didn't know anything about him, but I'd heard about this man named Ray Moore. Some of his books. I was speaking in Seattle, and a woman came up to me and said, "You really ought to read this book. It was called Better Late Than Early, and it was about not getting kids into public school too early, and that the notion of early childhood education was really not necessary, and that you can come along even at second, third, and fourth grades and plug them in for the first time, and they surpass those that have been in since kindergarten." Well, I'd heard about that, and I invited him to be on one of my early broadcasts. I think it was 1979. Didn't know him. He showed up. We got acquainted, and he talked about homeschooling that day. I'd never heard of the idea. And
how novel back then.
He discussed that, and we put that on the air. And I was overwhelmed by the response. Tens of thousands of people wrote and called and asked for more information on homeschooling. That was the beginning of the modern homeschools movement. I mean, it started actually going back. Jesus was not schooled formally till he was 12.
Nor was Abraham Lincoln.
That's right, or John Adams, or John Quincy Adams, any of them, but that was forgotten. And then this idea that when I was in school that you need to get them into earlier and earlier education, formal education. But that is now the parent broadcast. It didn't come from me. It came from Ray Moore.
That's the power of radio.
It is the power of radio. I didn't even know who was out there.
For an idea whose time has come, it just takes off. And by the way, we homeschool both of our children.
Did you really?
All grades to college. So,
well, I regret we didn't because Shirley was a teacher. I mean, we were naturals for it, but I never heard of it.
Well, there weren't the tools, and there wasn't the confidence. There weren't the support groups, but it's happened now. And as a college president, I can tell you, I went to my first homeschool conference as a college president, and I was the only college president there. By the time I quit coming, the Air Force Academy was coming, the West Point. They knew the best students you could get oftentimes were the homeschoolers. They wanted to get them. So you were part of that whole thing. That is the power of radio.
Well, there have been a lot of things like that that I look back on and just thank the Lord for the opportunity to carry the banner. Jerry, I appreciate you. You're a good man. Thanks for what you're doing here and for being my friend.
Well, it's mutual. And thank you again for being a trailblazer and bold and prophetic and faithful. And I expect the Lord is not through with you yet. So keep going.
Well, he's still got his hand in my back.
That's good.
He's still saying the job's not done.
We're proud of the association with NRB. We're really proud of Family Talk.
Blessings to you, my friend.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, on location at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Orlando, and I hope you've enjoyed this conversation with the president of the National Religious Broadcasters, Dr. Jerry Johnson. The NRB is doing great work in every area of Christian media, and if you want to find out more about the work that they're doing, you can visit their website at nrb.org. Now, we also have a link for that site on our broadcast page as well, and you can find us at drjamesdobson.org. By the way, if you haven't checked out our brand new listener feedback line yet, we want you to do so today. We have set up a designated line ready to record your stories, your comments about the broadcast, even your testimonials about how the ministry of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk has helped your family. Dial toll-free 844-823-2669 and let us know what you think. That's a toll-free number, 844-823-2669. And we really hope to hear from you soon on our brand new listener line. Finally, would you please consider how you can support the work of Family Talk financially during this crucial season of the year? Now, we want to be a strong voice for the family and for righteousness in the culture, but we can't do it without your prayers and financial support. You can donate online at drjamesdobson.org or call us with your tax-deductible donation, 877-732-6825. Thanks for praying for us, and thank you for standing with us financially right now. And thanks for joining us on today's broadcast. We'll see you again next time right here for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, everyone. Dr. Tim Clinton here for Family Talk. Where can you go to receive support and advice for you and your family? Family Talk interacts with millions of people every day with inspiring advice and tips from Dr. James Dobson on issues that matter most. Whether it's marriage or parenting, you can be sure our Facebook page will keep you updated on how you can succeed. Hey, join us each day for the latest broadcast, resources, and inspiration. Nowhere else can you hear a direct thought of the day from Dr. Dobson. You can be sure that every post on our page is created for you and your family in mind. Hey, take a moment, will you, right now, and join our family? Go to drjamesdobson.org. That's Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.